community content from Concentrate. You're Up and Adam with Adam Montiel. Some say life's where it begins. Straight to the stars is where it ends. Yes, some say life is just where it begins. Straight to the stars is where it ends. Only to start again.
Welcome, Thursday. Let's do this. Thank you for being Up and Adam. My name is Adam Montiel, and I think we got ourselves a billboard. What is up? Yeah. I don't know. We got a billboard. That's crazy. Unbelievable. Now, I don't know. I haven't seen it yet, but from everything I've been told, it is, depending on when you're listening to this, it is up. Southbound 101, you'll see it on the east side of the freeway. As soon, I mean, I'm going to get out there. I'm going to get the drone up. I'm going to go check. I'm going to verify, but today is the day. So we will celebrate it tomorrow once we know it's up with pics and, you know, tag everyone who's in it. I'm stoked. It's going to be fun. So today is the day. Now, haven't, again, confirmed this with my eyeballs, but today is the day. So as you're heading down the 101 on the grade and you look to the left when you're coming down south, before you see that, you know, that one. And I'm sorry, Sky River, but it is an annoying billboard. It's always like a kid or like an animal or something plugging their ears or putting their hands over their ears, and it says, "We hear you." I think we're just before that. I'm pretty sure. So you'll see it. Again, Southbound 101, it is on the left side. It's completely lit 24/7, day or night, and up and at 'em. I got a billboard. Very cool. So, and a big show today. I'm excited. Today we're going to talk to, gosh, Paul Pringle, Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist, writes for the LA Times. He'll take us behind the scenes of his explosive investigation into corruption at the highest levels of LA power circles. We're talking, one, USC, and even a little bit of the LA Times itself, where he was working, trying to get the story out. Stay tuned as Paul shares the gritty details and personal challenges he faced while uncovering a scandal that rocked the city of angels. You don't want to miss this riveting conversation. And the story turned into a really incredible podcast. And we kind of got two in a row talking about these crime podcasts. You think I'm turning into a true crime podcast myself? Who knows? I ain't against it. But no, this is just the way these two interviews. Yesterday, we had the Russian spy. That was fun, though. Yeah, Neil Strauss. That was good. And today, we're going to have Paul Pringle from the LA Times. Really interesting story about how he uncovered corruption. What else is going on? We're also going to talk about Big Brothers Big Sisters, an organization I just really, really love. I host their big event this year. It's May 17th at Rod and Hammer Rock. They just do great stuff. Great. And it's in, like, we always talk about like the Wood Humane Society in the sense where you rescue a dog or a cat, and obviously you're giving a home to a dog or a cat, but what it does for you is so much. It's so huge. I'm not going to say it's bigger, but it might be. I mean, the love that I feel in my heart for Georgie is, it doesn't even compare. I don't know. It's just, it's nuts. But you're giving these dog and cats homes. Well, the same thing with Big Brothers, Big Sisters. You are taking a young man or young woman, and yeah, you are doing a lot of good by spending some time with them, especially in light of things that may be happening in their life. And Big Brothers, Big Sisters, you know, they help boys and girls, young men and women, dealing with hands dealt to them that are just of no fault of their own, are super tough, maybe issues with the parents or mom and dad. Who knows why a young, or as they say, a little, gets into Big Brothers, Big Sisters. But every time I'm talking to folks who are what they call the bigs, the rewarding feelings, they go both ways. And these bigs get so much out of the relationship and the mentorship that they provide these young kids. So it's really, really special. We'll talk about Big Brothers, Big Sisters and their event. We'll also interview one of there for a few minutes. We'll talk to Hal Swayze. He's been on the board for a long, long time. And give this worthy and wonderful organization some love, because they deserve it. And I do feel a lot for them. They do great work. Before our lo-fi headlines, it makes sense to thank our friends at the General Store Paso, offering local goods and hand-picked gifts, a curated cookbook selection, and all the best for your pantry and your home. The team at the General Store can help you pull together just about any gift for anyone. And really, connecting people with local makers is, I say, it's why they're on this earth. celebrating almost 11 years, just a couple weeks, on the park downtown Paso. Open daily 11 to 6 and 10 to 6 on the weekends on Instagram at General Store Paso.
Up in Adam's Slo-Fi Headlines.
All right, another significant legal story out of Cal Poly. Student journalist Elizabeth Wilson is taking the university to court. How come? Well, she's pushing for transparency, demanding that Cal Poly release withheld public records linked to alleged sexual assault and labor violations on campus. Elizabeth, who works for Mustang News and interned at the Trib, filed three public record requests last fall. She sought emails relating to these serious allegations and even the hiring of former CSU Chancellor Joseph Castro by the Orfalea College of Business. This was a big story when it happened because this guy had a string of problems. And it was almost like, kind of like the Catholic Church would just take someone and shove them somewhere else if they were causing issues. You know, a lot like that. Despite the university previously responding to similar requests, they've stalled on her inquiries without providing a clear timeline, a requirement under California law. The lawsuit isn't just about emails. It's about the broader issue of transparency and how vital it is for community safety and awareness. Elizabeth's pursuit highlights a waiting game that's stretched over a year. Far too long, she argues, for information that impacts the safety and integrity of the Cal Poly community. And while Cal Poly stays tight-lipped on the issue, citing ongoing legal matters, this case could spark a much-needed dialogue about institutional accountability. Stay tuned. This story is going to develop. And remember, it is your right to know what is happening in your community. And thanks, Elizabeth, for being strong and doing this. Should get her on the show, yeah. All right, more local news, WTF, a What the Food segment. April 30th, Sonic Drive-In opens its doors in A-Town, situated near the In-N-Out at the San Anselmo Road exit off Highway 101. This new Sonic spot will feature drive-in stalls, patio for outdoor dining. Sonic is best known for its classic American drive-in vibe, offering a wide variety, burgers, shakes, slushies. I love that, what do they call it, ocean water? It's like a blue soda for... It's super good. Hundreds, probably not good for you, but it's super good. Hundreds of drink combinations they got, plus a portion of beverage sales support local public education programs like Limeades for Learning. Sonic will be open from 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. during the week, extending to midnight. Again, if you want to check out the grand opening, it is this Monday. All right, what else is going on? Do you ever fight this battle at work? You'd think you'd get more done if your desk was organized, but also you have zero interest or time for that matter in organizing your desk. Well, the survey, 84% of people say they feel more productive if their workspace is organized, whether it's in an office, a workshop, a retail setting, even working remotely at home. For remote workers, 59% like to work from a desk at their home, while 18% change spots throughout the day. 17% work from their dining room, and 16% typically work in bed. So I don't know what that means. If you want an organized workspace, but you're in bed, does that just mean you like tuck yourself in while working? I don't know. Only 40% of workers say they're very satisfied with their workplace. For the others, most would like more space. Some would like better office furniture. Some just would like it to be less cluttered. And this part's interesting. Over half of the folks in the survey said they describe themselves as professionally organized, but personally chaotic. So things are far more of a mess at home, I guess, and in their personal lives. All right, finally, this mom went viral in California. Her name, Emily King. She's in the news after accidentally sending an Evite for her kid's first birthday party. She sent it to literally everyone in her phone, accidentally. Listen.
I just made an Evite for my daughter's first birthday party. And on Evite, it says import contacts. And I thought it meant import to select group. No, it imported all 487 of my contacts and invited them to this birthday party. Not only did it invite my boss, all of my coworkers, all of the people that have ever been stored in my phone, but it sent an invitation based off of how they're stored in my phone. And I want you to just take a second and think about everyone stored in your phone and how they're stored in your phone. Derek Irol, he received an invitation. Jess hit her car in parking lot. I have to quit or get a new identity.
Derek Irol, I love that. Jess hit her in the parking lot. Man, that is really embarrassing. 500 folks. And I totally save people in my phone that way and have to be really careful when you do a share contact because, well, right? I mean, you think of old bosses, exes in your phone, everyone in your phone. Man, well, she went viral for that. Pretty funny story, though. All right, we're going to get into our conversation with Paul Pringle. Want to thank our friends first at We Help You Legal. Get ready for a legal solution that has been a cornerstone of our community since the year 2000. Christina Knoll, Chris Rush, the dynamic mom-son duo behind WeHelpYouLegal.com. Two convenient locations, SLO and Paso, and they're your go-to team for emergency same-day or next-day documents. Save on things. Save big on things like trusts, wills, power of attorneys, deeds, even divorce and more. You might not need these things right this moment, but you keep WeHelpYouLegal.com in your back pocket because when you do, they will save you cash. Also, they can help with LLCs, corporations, and more. Visit WeHelpYouLegal.com for a full range of service and 24 years of expertise in simplifying life's legal matters. And when you do, let them know you heard them on Up and Adam.
Up and Adam's Lo-Fi Headlines.
All right. We're thrilled to welcome a really special guest, Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times and the mind behind the groundbreaking podcast Fallen Angels. Paul's relentless pursuit of truth led to the explosive uncovering of the scandal involving Carmen Juliafito, the former dean of the USC Medical School, whose secret life of drugs and debauchery was hidden by layers and layers and layers of power and privilege. Now, this story not only challenges the glitzy facade of LA, but also exposes the deep-rooted corruption within some of its most revered institutions, i.e. USC, LA Times. Paul joins us to delve into the intense journey of bringing this dark narrative to light, revealing the obstacles he faced from the very institution he represented. I can't even imagine that. And the broader implications of his findings on the city and journalism itself. It all started with a book called Bad City, which is filled with intrigue, perseverance, and the relentless quest for accountability. Now it's this podcast, Fallen Angels. Paul is up and Adam. Thanks, man, for being here.
Thanks for having me.
All right, Paul, man, walk me through the initial discovery of Juliafito's activities and what it was like facing this internal resistance inside the LA Times. Like, how did you and your colleagues managed to keep the investigation going despite the pushback from those on the inside trying to keep you down?
Well, I learned of the story from a manager at the hotel where this overdose occurred. His name is Devon Khan. He was the one who called 911 when this young woman overdosed in the presence of the dean of the USC Medical School, and nothing happened. I mean, the paramedics came and took her away. The police came, but didn't even file a police report. And he was just shocked by this. So he tried everything he could to get somebody to do something. He contacted the city attorney's office. He contacted the president's office at USC. He even tried to reach one of us at the newspaper at one point, but he was told he had to leave a voicemail message. He didn't want to do that because any of this could have gotten him fired. And just by happenstance, he bumped into a colleague of mine at a house party.
Wow.
Told him what had happened. This time it was about 3 weeks later, or maybe a little longer. And that's how the tip came to me. So I, realized right away after speaking to him confidentially that there was a story here. And it became apparent to me pretty quickly that the story was even bigger than the overdose. It was about the cover-up and the suit afterward.
No, after,
and that was quite some time. I mean, I had to knock on a lot of doors, file records requests under California's Public Records Act, work behind the scenes at City Hall to get some folks to help me squeeze some information out. And I finally did get enough information, including recordings of the 911 call. They created a police report retroactively, which I've never experienced because of my, pounding away at them. And I put together with my editor a bulletproof story. Wasn't the whole story yet, but it was a very important, great story. And the top editor killed it.
Now, after such an ordeal with the LA Times resisting publication, how did you reconcile really continuing to work there? Like, what was the temperature down the halls by the water cooler? What gave you the strength to stay and fight these battles from the inside?
Well, I was just enraged that this happened, and furious. And so were my colleagues. And at that time at the paper, things were very bad. I mean, management was not held in high regard. We did not have great owners. So It was difficult, very difficult time. I went to work angry every day. I came home angry. But I did have the support of my immediate editors. Matt Late, who I was the city editor at the time and my editor, immediately decided to put together a bigger team of reporters to continue pursuing this story with me. And we added four reporters to the story. And we did that in secret from the top editors, which should never have to happen in a newsroom.
Yeah.
In a newsroom. But it did. That's how bad things were. And and we fanned out across Southern California, trying to get more information. We finally had some luck, and we put together an even bigger story. This one was just unkillable because I got my hands on videos and photos of this dean doing drugs with these vulnerable young people. And I got people on the record, including the young woman who overdosed. And others in that circle of young people. So now the story was, you just couldn't kill it. If they killed it, I would have gone public, 10 minutes later. So what they did instead was go into this mode of delaying and diluting the story. And that went on for months. And during this entire period, this dean is out there hurting people. He's performing delicate eye surgery, while he's using, during the period in which he was using drugs with these folks. He's continuing to bother the family of the young woman. So it was a terrible situation. And even when the story was finally published, and by that time I had complained to the corporate office about what was happening, and the top editors were told by the newsroom attorney that this story needed to be published, even then, at the very last minute, with no consultation with us, the reporters, they deleted the most damaging material about USC in the story, which was that the dean was providing all these drugs to these people.
All right, in the light of ongoing cases like those involving influential figures, celebrities, and law enforcement, such as like Diddy and the police and this new thing that came up like a couple weeks ago, how do you perceive the state of corruption today? Does this represent an evolution or maybe a persistence of past corruption patterns?
I think it's an ongoing pattern of corruption. And unfortunately, I think it's gotten worse as our industry has shrunk, as there's fewer and fewer reporters on the street keeping an eye out for this stuff because of all the cutbacks in our industry. And it's a real problem. We're seeing a lot of growth in the nonprofit sector, journalism nonprofits that are specializing in investigative journalism. But no, far too often, if we don't do it in newsrooms, it doesn't get done.
Considering the sensitive nature of your reporting, Paul, have you ever felt concerned for your personal safety?
Not all. I mean, a couple of times in the past, I was threatened, with violence. And more recently, I had somebody stalking me, that kind of thing. I just report it. And in a couple of cases, I had to take some measures, because I have a family and all that.
But yeah.
It comes with the territory.
No, I feel you.
So, more common threats are lawsuits.
Right.
In this case, the three editors who were fired after my colleagues and I complained about how the story were handled, they threatened to sue me repeatedly for writing the book that the podcast is based on. The book is Bad City.
Yes, Bad City, Peril and Power in the City of Angels. That is the book that was kind of the prelude to this podcast right here. And that book goes all in as your team uncovers the scandals and cover-ups of USC and the LA Times as it related to this story. Let me ask you another question, unrelated to this topic specifically, but certainly in the same thread of corruption. Recently, California State Auditor Grant Parks sent a letter to the governor saying there was an audit revealing like $25 billion missing in funds allocated to combat homelessness in the state. Now, as someone deeply familiar with institutional corruption, what was your take on this situation, and how might this reflect broader systemic issues within government?
I don't know enough about that to really comment intelligently on it. Unfortunately, I know I'm aware of it, but it wouldn't surprise me if there's, at minimum mismanagement there.
I'm so curious, Paul, as a lover of the medium of broadcasting, radio specifically, but also, not ignorant to the fact that it's changed a lot, right? print has also changed a lot. Transitioning from traditional print to this world of podcasting for you, have you found this shift in mediums? Does the podcast format offer you some new freedoms or opportunities in storytelling that maybe print really didn't?
Well, it was fun. It was, you know, I had to get talked into it. I am a print person, you know, and I'm a writer first, but I think the podcast turned out great. And I really, you know, grateful to the folks at Best Case Studios who put it together for doing such a good job with iHeart. But yeah, I could see doing another one. It was a different, certainly a different medium. It could be more engaging in some ways than just a printed word. So yeah.
The podcast is called Fallen Angels. New episode out today, Thursday. What's on today's show?
We go deeper into, again, trying to get that bigger story that was eluding us. And again, with the fight with the top editors.
Well, thanks for the fight, man. It takes bravery, courage, you know, to take on your own brass from the inside, you know, and to investigate like this. So thanks for the time. Appreciate you. And thanks for being up and at 'em.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Start again. All right, our Community Uncorked segment spotlighting people and organizations that really have a lot of heart and do a lot for our community, our neighbors. Brought to us by our friends at Dow Vineyards. You know, their spring membership, the allocation, it's out now, offering members an exclusive Edna Valley Pinot Noir. Don't miss on the chance to join the Dow membership. Enjoy the newest wines at special member prices. Cheers to great wine and great company, great people. Check them out. DowVineyards.com. All right, for our Community Uncorked segment, we are talking about Big Brothers, Big Sisters. SlowBigs.org is the website. I'll put a link in the show notes. Love the work they do. You have heard of Big Brothers, Big Sisters, and the mentorship that they do to young men and women who need a friend, need a mentor, need someone who could just like be that big brother, be that big sister in their lives. Listen, give them a little advice. Take them out, do some stuff. The power and the weight of what these, as they call them, bigs, give to these littles is unmatched. Their legacy event, Big Event, is coming up Friday, May 17th. I'm proud to be out there emceeing once again, as I have year after year. On the phone now is Hal Swayze. He is a realtor by day, but he has had a passion and a heart for the work that Big Brothers and Big Sisters has been doing for a long, long time. He is a board member of Slow Bigs, and it's my pleasure to have him on and talk about this great work that they do. Thanks, Hal, for being up and at 'em.
Oh, my pleasure. Happy to be here with you.
Now, you have been a long supporter of Big Brothers, Big Sisters. What is it about the organization that really kind of lit you up from the inside and has kind of really made you want to give back?
You know, I don't know. I guess I'm a little bit hardwired that way. I remember when I was in like college, I do a once a month donation, and I already forgot the Sally Struthers or whatever it was.
All right.
Organization. But I went to see a great speaker talking about kids who were having challenges and drugs and things that go on. He said, one of the best organizations you can involve yourself with is Big Brothers, Big Sisters. And so this was in the early 90s. So I got involved, and my kids were young, so I wasn't a big, so I started by just donating and then becoming a board member. So, you know, when you see the results and the impact these one-to-one or even school-based matches make on children, you realize it's just such a small but kind human act that can move lives. So I was just hooked from day one. I've always enjoyed trying to help kids.
You know, it's really special being lucky enough to MC this event the last many years to see the littles who are just so touched and often dealt hands in their lives that had nothing to do with them and are certainly no fault of their own. But because of these connections that they make, I mean, it's really, really special. And oftentimes it's not even so much that what the little gets out of it, but you find that the satisfaction and the reward, I mean, it goes both ways.
Oh, absolutely. I think, you know, humans, we're social animals. And if we can help others, I mean, that's kind of one of the best gifts you can, you know, give or get. Right. So we see it all the time. So it's a wonderful relationship. I think people get a little bit intimidated about being a big because they think it's such a big commitment when it's really just kind of being there, sounding board and someone they can relate to. And we've all been down that road because we're hopefully all adults, or I'm working on it, being an adult. You know, we can share some things and go, hey, what you're going through, we've all dealt with it in a different way, one way or the other. So, you know, and give them some tools to kind of move forward.
What I think is cool about you is you really put your money where your mouth is. I mean, not only are you, like you said, on the board, you've been supporting this agency for, you know, around 30 years or more, but you also have one of the cooler lots in this live auction. I love doing the live auction and announcing it with Todd Ventura. And you have this spot in Punta Mita, and you yeah. give it up every year. First of all, tell me about where Punta Mita in Mexico, where is it? And tell me about this little crib you got there.
So fly to Puerto Vallarta. You don't want to drive there if you're going from San Luis Obispo. It's a pretty easy flight. And then about 40 miles north, there's this little peninsula there. And there's a nice big golf resort in the Four Seasons and a small town, which is our place in on the ocean. So my wife loves to surf, and I'll go when she goes in the water. You know, and it's just a great little town. And we've been fortunate enough to just have friends that had a place there. And we almost have a San Luis Obispo community there now. But it's a condo, but it sits on the water. It's got a little patio, and you walk in the beach and you can go paddleboard or surf or go fishing right out there, and got a view. And then the little town is just a row of nice little restaurants and locals and tourists. So it's a pretty special place for us. I mean, it's, you know, we've enjoyed it for many, many years visiting, and now more recently as an owner.
That's cool. Yeah, it sounds awesome. And I love that, you know, it's one of my more fun lots to kind of talk about. And you see these pictures, you're like, oh my God, send me to Punta Mita. Wow, it looks beautiful over there.
Well, we'll talk after our discussion today.
Yeah. Hey, let me ask you, because you are, I see your signs all over the place. And I want to know about the real estate market. Where are we at with things? How is slow? It's such a hard area for a first-time home buyer. But really, like, what's the temperature in the room right now? What is the market like right now in San Luis Obispo?
I mean, how long have you been in the area, Adam?
I mean, over 20 years.
20 years, yeah. So, I mean, I started in real estate like 30 plus years ago. And I got to tell you, when I moved here, I went to college here. I didn't know anything about real estate. But I would just say it's a very resilient place as a real estate market. And that can mean good things and bad things. I mean, if you own real estate, you're happy you did. And if you're trying to get in, it's never been easy. It's tricky to get in. If you're a first-time buyer, it's not easy. It really never has been. But once you're in, you're kind of happy you did. I can't even count, you know, of the thousand people I've helped, anybody said, I wish I didn't buy this property or this house.
No, sure. So, where do you feel your dollar is best stretched all along the Central Coast? Is it Atascadero? Is it Grover Beach, Oceano? Yeah. Where do you see that dollar being stretched best?
You know, again, you got to move where you're comfortable. But if let's say we're addressing first-time buyers, you know, okay, it's so daunting to buy that first home, but look at what you're paying in rent, learn about home ownership. It may not be for everybody, but if you want to, you know, you just got to get a plan and you got to figure out what it's going to take to get in there. I think if you like the North County, the heat, you get a lot more for your money in the North County. If you don't, then you want to be in the five cities. And, you know, there are options, but got to hope you can afford it. And that's by starting with a good lender, a good real estate agent who can put you in touch with a good lender to start the process.
Hal Swayze, you also do a real estate podcast, don't you?
Uh-huh.
Folks, I guess, can just check it out off your website, halswayze.com, S-W-E-A-S-E-Y. How's it been going?
You know, we've been very fortunate with it. I think we've done it for almost 2 years, and we're like in the top 30 in the country. And one of our little, they go on YouTube now because we do it in person versus just over the radio.
Nice.
So we have it on YouTube. One of our last ones got like 100,000 views or something. Which,
good for you, man. That's rad. Good for you. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, cool. Well,
I don't know how it works. We just cover topics that are relevant to real estate in San Luis Obispo County. It seems to resonate with people.
Well, good for you. Well, I appreciate one, you're taking time with me right now and chatting about just the market, what you do, and then, of course, your love for big brothers, big sisters, and all the time and heart that you put towards that and towards the youth of this community. So I appreciate you, my man, for being up and Adam.
Hey, Adam, thank you, because you do so much for our organization as well, and it doesn't go unnoticed. So thank you for being a big contributor to the county and our kids. So thank you as well.
You're Up and Adam with Adam Montiel.
Adam Montiel.
Community content from Concentrate. Available wherever you get your podcasts. For links and more, visit adammontiel.com.
Thanks to Hal. Thanks to Slow Biggs for all your great and worthy work that you do. Also, thanks to Dow Vineyards for giving us our Community Uncorked segment. Don't forget links to all our supporters, including Barometer Coffee, Window Coverings by Design, a general store we mentioned today, We Help You Legal, and more, all available online in the show notes. Links to everyone who supports Up and Adam. And by the way, we got a billboard. You want to see who supports Up and Adam? Boom. We got a freaking billboard. You know, it's so interesting. And as I think about this billboard going up, I think it's up now. I just haven't seen it yet. But when I think about the difference between an employer and a supporter, for so long, I had an employer. And right now, I am working for supporters. And that is those folks that you hear me talk about on these airwaves. And it's also you listening. I'm trying to serve and work for you. So thank you for all of your support. And if you just like listening to what we do here, please take a moment and visit, follow on the socials, and please patronize these great businesses and great people, because they mean a lot to me and a lot to this community. And it's because of them that I'm here. With that, I think we'll wrap. Tomorrow, Kimberly Walker. I love her. She's so stylish, so good. Her properties like Skyview, Hotel Inez, the new farmhouse. Well, she's got a new one. They are rolling back the curtains on the River Lodge in Paso. Mid-century, modern, chic, sexy, poolside. I love it. We're going to talk to Kimberly all about this brand new spot. It is opening in just a couple weeks. Can't wait to get out there. We'll tell you when it's opening and all about it tomorrow when we talk to Kimberly Walker here on Up and Atom. Thanks to our friends at Moonshiner Collective for original music on the show called Start Again. And thank you for rating, reviewing, and subscribing to the show. And more importantly, sharing it with a friend. Let someone know. Hey, have you heard this? Check this out. Come on now. Thank you so much for doing that in advance. And if you've already done it, thank you. Thank you. My name is Adam Montiel, and I appreciate you more than you know. For being Up and Atom. All right, check this out. Coming up on Memorial Day weekend, first ever Cork and Jug Country Jam. Link in the show notes, corkandjugjam.com. Happy that they jumped on board and are alongside Up and Atom. Midland, listen to this, Midland and Tanya Tucker headlining. Names like the White Buffalo, Stephen Wilson Jr., Jay Jackson, Joe and Martina, all keeping the Vineyards and Rolling Hills rocking all day long at the Paso Robles Event Center. May 25th, 2 p.m., all day long. Aside from the artists on stage, indulge in a concert of tastes as the festival spotlights the art of barbecue. There's even a wine roundup downtown Paso. Lots going on. I want you to go to corkandjugjam.com for tickets. We're going to have your chance to win some from here very soon. And again, link in the show notes. May 25th, baby, Cork and Jug Jam for the country fan in you.